You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, it is good to be here. I tell you, your pastors are wonderful people, and I know I'm not just trying to give you a line. I really believe that. They're special people. I think he has a lot of wisdom, this Pastor Mike, and I think it's because of his white hair. And that's a lot of it. But no, I'll be honest with you. If you've ever had a conversation with Pastor Mike, it doesn't matter what conversation or what the subject is. He has a lot of good information and a lot of good wisdom and things. And I appreciate all that you put into Kathy's and my life. We love you guys. You and your wife Brenda. Man, I tell you, you guys are powerhouses for God. And their reputation, whether you realize this or not, their reputation is around the world. Matter of fact, their reputation is in hell itself. And they shudder down there when they think of the Williams and this church that can stop a car downtown Wills Point with a train going by and make you wait for it. In this town, this area here of Texas, from out of this lighthouse, the Word of God goes forth around the world. Isn't that powerful? Amen. It's a privilege to be here. And my wife, Kathy, she didn't want to say anything right at the start, because what we do is this, Pastor, is I get fired up and get going with something, and then she has some add-ons. They're like add-ons. You ever do that? Add-ons. Yeah. But Kathy is such a blessing. We've been married over 30 years. And when we first met, we both were believers. I just became a new Christian. I had gone through a lot of crazy stuff. Kathy went through a lot of crazy stuff. And I saw her at a Women's Glow conference, is what it was. I wasn't transdressing. No, I'm just kidding. But I went to Women's Glow because I was part of the worship team with this evangelist who was traveling and doing the ministry that night at Women's Glow. So I saw Kathy, and I thought, you know, she's a believer, I'm a believer. I'm going to have to say something real spiritual to connect with her, to you know, get her to go out with me. So I was praying, and this is what I said. I said, hi, Kathy. I said, I have a word for you. I said, what's that? I said, before the rooster crows, you're going to go out with me three times. And the rest is history. And we have, yeah, that's a good one. And you know, so anyway, and we've had four beautiful children together, nine grandchildren, working on 10 and 11 grandchildren, and all serving the Lord, and serving God. We have three boys and a daughter. Our daughter Tabitha and her husband Chris pastor a new campus we started a year ago down in Florida, but we greet you also from Michigan, the original Faith City campus. I'm looking around and I'm seeing we walk by faith, not by sight. I know this is a Word of Faith church. How many believe the Word of Faith? I mean, no, it's the Word that does the work in your life. You know, we preach this message for years. I preach it for years. Your pastor has preached it for years. But you know what? The Word never changes. It's still just as dynamic today that works in our life today as any other time. And you know, as I was preparing myself over the last few weeks, of what would you have me say, Lord? What would you have me say to this church that they have a solid ministry, they have a good Word, good teaching? You know, what could I say to add on to what the pastor says, to what the elders say, to what you believe here? What could I add on to your faith to help you grow and be everything that God's called you to be without the pastor having next week to come up and say, well, you know, not about that. I don't want to do that. I want to add to. I don't want to take away. I don't want to destroy your faith. I want to help build your faith. That's what God wants us to do today. I want to build your faith. So we're going to look at some things today that would seem simple to us. But the Word is simple. The Word works in simple ways. And I know for a lot of us, this might be some new material. For some of us, it might be some reminders of material. And I tell you, for Kathy and I, we've been discussing this. We've been listening to a lot of things and hearing a lot of things. And God's been speaking to our spirit about you've really got to go back to faith and believing what God says about you. And I think that's so important, because we can get so caught up in what the news report says. We can get so caught up in what seems to be going around us, state to state or as a country or even as a world. And it's so easy to get focused on those things and get our focus off The only thing that will change us, the only thing that will help us, and that's God's Word. Can I hear an amen in this Holy Ghost charismaniac church? Come on, somebody. Are you the First Baptist Church? No, I think we passed them down there, which is a wonderful church. Praise God. It's the Word that does the work. So I'm going to read some verses together. We're going to read some verses together. I'm going to read them out loud. You're going to follow along. We're going to participate. So get out your notes, paper. Get out a pen or paper. Get out or pencil, crayons, if that's what you use. Get out your iPad. Get out your Kindle, you know, whatever you use. Let's get out your computer, and let's go to town, and let's really dive into the Word of God. That's what we need today, isn't it, Pastor? All right? And I want to talk to you about the importance of changing our words will change our life. You say, I heard it. Yeah, but you know what? I look at you and I think, you need to hear it again. Why? Because you're a believer. That's why. I look at you. I'm not saying that's not a knockdown. That's a build up. I look at you and say, you're a believer. You've heard it before. Then you need to hear it again. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And you know what I know? I know you're just like me. You're just like any other person, any other believer in the world. We have to continue to hear this and stir up our faith. Are you listening to me? We all have to. We all have to. This is how we live. This is what we eat, the Word of God. And the Word of God will build our faith. I want you to look with me, if you will, this morning to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to just go slowly through this, but of course we're going to take a few minutes. The pastor gives us, and I really appreciate the time, Pastor. Thank you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. We're going to read some verses here through 31. And I'm going to start reading. I'm reading out of the new King James. It just has it's pretty much close to the regular original King James, little easier maybe for me to focus on. Verse 27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse 28, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, now this is very important, please get this, whatever translation you're reading out, it's got to be close. Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. What was the question? Jesus asked him, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. So what happens? Verse 29. So he touched their eyes, saying, according to my great power. Nope. According to what? Your faith, let it be to you. What was the result of their faith? What was the result of their faith? What was the result of that? You don't have to answer that. I'm going to give you the answer. Well, the Bible's going to give us the answer. I'm just trying to look, you know, awesome. And, you know, it's not hard to do. Come on. And what happened? Their eyes were open, verse 30, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see no one tells it, or see that no one knows it. And verse 31, but they went out and blabbed it anyway. Praise the Lord. Okay, now verse 28. I want to ask you a question according to verse 28. Now, did he say this? Is this what Jesus said to them? Do you believe that you can do this? Did he say that? He didn't say that, did he? Sometimes that's how we read it. Sometimes that's how we act with our faith. Well, okay, I've got faith and I believe now, and now I've really got to make this thing happen. Praise God, you don't have to make it happen. It's not your word, it's not your power. It's your spirit, and it's your speaking, and it's your believing, but it's His word, His power, that will do the job. That's powerful what He says here. I know this is beginning foundational, but I don't want to give you some mess that the pastor has to clean up. I want to give you what the Word says, because this is exactly how your pastor preaches. How do I know? I stole these notes a half hour ago in his office. No, I didn't. But he preaches it too. Do you believe? Look. Did he say this? Do you believe that you can do this? He didn't ask that. He said, let's read it again, verse 28. Do you believe that I, Jesus, am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. What did they believe? They believed that Jesus could do it. And that's what we need to keep doing, believing that Jesus can do it. The Word can do it. Amen? Now, so the answer to that, do you believe that you could do this? The answer is no. Because you know what? You don't do it. He does. That's what's awesome. That's just awesome. See, it's so simple when we just come back to faith. How does faith work for us? What's the importance of our words and what we say? And I want to look at that with you today. So, right, I'm going to give you just about 5 points or so. Number one, write this down if you would. It's the word that does the work. Remember that? Remember that? Remember when Kenneth Hagin would preach that? Kenneth Copeland would preach that? John Osteen would preach that? And Jerry Cox would preach that? And Mike Williams would preach that? Remember? Remember how it was when you were saved? Remember? Yeah, it's the same today. It's the word that does the work. Now, let's look at Mark chapter 9. How many's getting something out of this already? Man, isn't it? Well, three of us. Well, I'm going to try harder, so I'll have more hands next time I ask. Mark chapter 9, verse 22 and 23. I'm so excited about this, Pastor Mike. Man, I'm fired up. Amen. Mark chapter 9, and this is Jesus again. He said, this is a man coming to him and asking for help. Remember the disciples tried to cast the spirit out of the man's son, and he couldn't do it. And so then he comes to Jesus. Jesus comes up, and this man, the father, says, if you can do anything, verse 22, I'm reading like the second part of it, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And this is what Jesus said to him. This is powerful. So simple. He said, if you can believe, all things, I hope your faith is getting stirred right now. All things, what? Are possible to him who believes. That's powerful. Now, you need to write some things down here. Jesus never said, all things are possible to everybody. He didn't say here, all things are possible to every Christian. Because they're not. Because Jesus specifically said, all things are possible to him who believes. So, you know, really, if you see a brother in the church and he's getting blessed because he believes God for something and it happens for him, you can't get mad at him if you don't believe. See, that verse is not for you if you don't believe. You believe, the verse is for you. If you don't believe, it's not. Is that fair? Look at verse next to you and say, he's talking about you now. Come on! All, if you can believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. I want us just in holy reverence, just hold about 5 seconds on that. Just think about it. All things. What are you facing? That can be changed by the word. What are you going through right now? That can be changed by the word. Now, I'm going to show you how that happens. And I know it's a reminder for a lot of us. But you need to see how this happens because we can't forget it. See, this is what I have a tendency to do. Sister Brenda, I have a tendency to do this. I don't know about the rest of you, but I do. And sometimes it's this. I'm going through something and it seems so tough, and I'm focused on how bad it is and how it needs to change. I get talking about the situation instead of talking the answer, believing that with God all things are possible, he can change this. And I'm so consumed in it. You know, and then you have people saying things like, well, you have to work it out. So if you let's sit down and talk about it, and if we talk about it, then we can work it out. But see, the thing is, if you talk about it, it reinforces it. It reinforces what you already have. And if you don't want what you already have, you can't reinforce it by trying to, you know, work it out with some kind of talk. Well, let's talk it out. Let's talk something else out. Let's talk the word in. Is somebody okay with this? Look at the person next to you and say, now I know he's messing in your stuff. Come on, tell somebody. But he said, all things are possible to him who believes. So we've got to cooperate with the word. It's the word that does the work. You take the pressure off. Just take the pressure off right now and just decide from this moment forward, you don't have to make the word work. The word will work itself. There's something we do. We believe, we cooperate with the word. That's, I like that. We have to cooperate with the word of God. How do we cooperate? Well, we believe. We got to believe that he will do it, that he has done it, that the word will work. So we believe, but we also cooperate with the Word by putting action to what we believe. And when you put action to what we believe, the greatest way to put action to what you believe is by speaking or saying what the Word says. So important. Now, some of you look at me like, but I know that. We all know that. It's not a proposition this morning. Do you know this? It's a reminder this morning of we've got to do it. It's the only way out. I found that some of my successes will only come this way, Pastor Mike. It's the only way it'll come. I have no other recourse. I have no other way if it's not the Word way, if it's not by saying what the Word says. And I'll show you the importance of that, because the Bible, Jesus himself, when he was telling a parable about the sower, he tells us the importance of the Word and how it reacts in our life or acts in our life. Amen? So I want you to look with me, if you would, to, let's look at Mark chapter 4. How many's doing good so far? Amen. Oh, my goodness. And I'm trying to think of when I started and Okay, all right. Mark chapter 4. Let's look at verse 13. I'm going to read a few verses here. Maybe for sake of time, I won't read them all. But how many know this here, Mark chapter 4, is where Jesus was talking about, he was giving the parable about the sower sows the seed, and he sows it into different kinds of ground, and the results of the seed being sown in different kinds of ground, right? And so the disciples say, well, explain this to us. He said, you don't understand this? He said, if you don't understand this parable, there's a lot you're going to miss. There's a lot you're going to not understand. He said, you got to understand this. That's the importance Jesus put on the explaining of this parable here about the sower sows seed. So in verse 13, he says to them, don't you understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? In verse 14, this is a key verse here. If you could do anything, underline verse 14, or if you don't mind, or mark it, you know, somehow. The sower sows the word. Now he's explaining that parable. He's saying, here's the explanation. When I'm talking about sowing seed, I'm not talking about tomato seed, corn seed, vegetable seed. I'm talking about the word being sown like seed. Did you hear that? The sower sows the word. And then we understand verse 15 through 20 tells what happens on the different kinds of ground. So ground is involved, right? So with that in mind, how many's heard that parable before? Okay, raise your hand if you heard that before. Everybody else, just raise your hand just to see if they're working. Everybody raise your hand. All right, wave at me. All right, praise the Lord. Smile, that's good too. Questions, I have some questions and I need you to answer out loud. Ready? And whoever answers the best, God bless you. All right. You don't get anything except blessed. And that's good. All right. So in Mark 4:14 there, what does Jesus say? He said, the sower sows the word. So what word was he talking about? His word. Could we say the word of God? Say amen if you believe that. Let's vote on it. Amen. Amen. All right. And so what did he say the word was like? The word is seed. Say that. The word is seed. Oh, we're getting somewhere here. Now, where was it sown? Well, I know in the ground, right? But what does the ground represent when he's giving the explanation? Huh? What? Me is good. You is good. Me and you. Kumbaya. But heart. Heart. Say the heart. The heart. Now, this is important. You got to catch this. This is going to set you free this morning. So, Jesus is saying, the sower sows the word. The word is seed. The seed is sown where? In the heart. Now, let me ask you this. Another question. Is the heart he's talking about there, is it the blood pumping heart? What heart is he talking about? The spirit. Say the spirit. The spirit of man. Whoa! You people are awesome. So look what he's saying. Write this down. So he's saying our spirit is the receptacle for the seed of the word. Wow! So when the word is sown, it's sown into our spirit. And then what happens? Then what happens? When it comes into your spirit, what does your spirit man do with the word when it comes into your spirit? Is this good, Pastor? Is this okay? All right. See, I want to help you. We don't need anything flashy and woo-hoo-hoo. I want to leave a deposit in you that will change your life forever. You'll say, we can work the word in this area of our life. This will help us for healing. This will help us for deliverance. This will help us in our marriage. This will help us with our kids. This will help us in our finances. This will help us. Amen? Because the Word works. But it has to be sown. So, when the Word comes into your spirit, what does your spirit man do with it? Let's read on. Mark chapter 4. Let's read on. We'll find out what Jesus says. Verse 26 and 27, he says, so also, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. So we know seed is representing the Word, seed being sown, ground in our spirit. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, what happens? The seed sprouts and grows. Listen to this last part. This is so powerful. Though he does not know how. Now, here's the second point I want to give you today. Write this down. You'll meditate on this. Your homework assignment for this week, meditate on this point. You don't need to know how it works for it to work. You don't have to understand it. Sometimes we're trying to, well, I just don't understand. You don't have to understand for it to work. You just need to figure out, how do I sow seed in my heart? The seed of God's Word. How do I get that seed in my heart? Because you know what? Then I can go to sleep. I can get up. I can go to work. I can come home. I can eat a big meal. I can go shoot guns. I can watch the Rangers beat Detroit Tigers. What was that about? My Lord, I was repenting. Lord, I hope I... Yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Right? You can go to sleep. You can wake up. And you know what? If the seed of the Word is in there and not disturbed, it will have its work. It'll work. You don't even have to understand how it goes. Some people want to dig it up, constantly dig up the Word. How come this isn't working? Pastor, I'm calling just to say I know I planted some seed of the Word for healing, and I'm wondering, I'm digging it up, and it doesn't look like anything's happening. You don't have to understand it. Wouldn't that be a crazy farmer get out there every morning? I don't see anything, honey. I'm going to go dig it up and see what's happening. Yeah, go back and go milk a cow. Leave it alone, right? Go milk a bull. Leave it alone, right? I'm from Detroit. Okay. Mark chapter 4. Let's go on some more. Chapter 4, verse 28. So let's continue on. So what was that point? You don't need to know how it works for it to work. You getting something out of this? How many's doing good? Raise your hand. Say, I think the people behind us finally woke up. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 28 says this. All by itself, the soil produces harvest. Oh, my goodness. That rocks my world when I read that. All by itself. It doesn't need your big nose. Excuse me, and I can say that because I know what I'm talking about. It doesn't need your big nose getting in the Word's business. Let the Word work. What does the Bible say in Ephesians? When doing all, just stand. Just stand there and watch the glory of the Lord work. Amen? Let the Word work. We get so consumed with, I've got to get the Word to work. No, you don't. You can't anyway. You just speak it, let it drop in your spirit, and let your spirit man have its way. Let the Word have its way, and you just rest. Amen? Give somebody a high five and say, all right. But he says, this is what happens. Verse 28, all by itself, the soil produces harvest, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle in because the harvest has come. The third point today, write this down. Left to itself, our heart will produce whatever we seed into it. Just leave it alone. Left to ourselves, our heart will produce whatever we seed into it. Now, you know what that tells me? I better be seeding the Word of God in it. And here's what happens. To do that, you're going to have to focus on the Word of God. Because here's what happens a lot of times, and I've done this, and possibly you have. I don't know. I don't know you. I know me. And I've done this. I'll pick something up on TV. I'll watch something on the news. I'll listen to some report on the radio, and I'll start saying that kind of stuff. And as I'm talking it now what am I doing? I'm seeding the wrong stuff in my spirit. And I don't know about you, but I think a lot of folks... Probably not you. You all look pretty good today. But a lot of folks are sowing a lot of wrong seed in their heart. Seed like, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this one. Boy, I just don't know if I'm ever going to get through this. And you start seeding that kind of stuff in your spirit. And guess what? You can rise up, go to sleep, just you know, not even be concerned with it. And guess what? Your spirit will produce that stuff in your life. And you're wondering, how come all this stuff is coming up? What have you been saying? What have you been planting in your heart? Is this all right? Wow. So he goes on to say, Mark chapter 4 again, verse 30. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? What parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it's sown in the ground, smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it's sown, look at this, it grows up, becomes greater than everything else, all other herbs. So you know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. Sow the word of God in your life. And when you sow the word in, it's going to grow. Just give it time. What do? You do things like we did this morning. You just lift your hands and praise God. Father, I thank you. Your word. I remember this old song. It goes, I think it was David Ingalls. The word is working mightily in me. Remember that? The word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. See, just let that word work in you. Let it work mightily. It's going to come up. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, the fourth point today, a lot more points than I usually give, Pastor Mike, but number four is be aware of where you get your seed. Be aware of where you get your seed. Is it the seed of the Word of God or the seed of words of doubt, unbelief, fear, news report, what's brother so-and-so said, sister so-and-so? I'm telling you, God loves people. But I'm telling you, the devil uses people. And they don't even mean to, but sometimes people come up and say stuff just to kind of, terrorize your faith. You know, and you can't allow that stuff to get in your spirit. You can't say that. You can't repeat it. Say what the Word says. Be aware of where your seed comes from. Amen? Why? Because we're trying to change our hearts. And we can't change our hearts, can't change our lives, unless we change the seed that's planted in it. Amen? So, now, you say, well, that sounds like that confession stuff. Now, that works for anybody. Now, I want you to write this down. I believe in the law of confession. Confession, the word there in the Bible in the Greek means to say the same thing as. You know that. Your profession is that way, that word. Confession that way. The confession of your faith, right? To say the same thing, what? To say the same thing as the Word. Take the Word and say that, right? So confession is important. And I've heard people say, well, people in the world, they have that positive thing going on too, and they just say whatever. And you know what? I'll say this. The law or principle of confession does work for anybody. But, say but. Now here's a big but. And you need to get this. It works for people who are not Christians to a degree. Here's the difference. People that get this confession thing going and it's a positive confession, they can say it, but they also have to have their own power to make it happen. Big difference. With us as believers, get this. Oh, this is so powerful. When they say it, they have to follow up to make it happen. Oh, come on, somebody. We as believers, when we confess the word, we believe it and say it, God follows up and makes it happen. Praise God. It's His power. What does it say in Romans chapter 1, verse 16? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the word. Why? Because it's the power of Carl. Yeah. The power of Michael. Yeah. The power of Zoltar. No. It's the power of God. When we speak positive confession, when we speak the word, when we speak the word in our heart, God will bring it to pass. He's the power. See, it's your confession, but it's His power. That's why I remember that first verse we read. Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? Yes. It's God. Isn't that powerful? All right, let me give you some more things here. What are you doing? Well, what we're doing is we're using a principle of calling things that be not as though they were. Some people, I've heard this over the years, and maybe you have too. I've actually had people tell me this, Pastor, and so have you, Pastor Mike, I'm sure. Well, when I just confess that word, and it's not really so aren't I lying? I heard that. And I'm thinking, no, you're not lying. You're using the principle of confession, which is, and actually this principle here, God wrote this. Call things that be not as though they were. Let me give you an example. In Judges, I don't know where it is, but in Judges it talks about Gideon. Remember Gideon? And how many remember the man Gideon? Raise your hand if you remember Gideon. What was he doing? He was hiding and beating. He was, where was he? He was in a wine press and he was beating some wheat, you know, crushing wheat, and he was doing it. He was hiding from the Midianites, right? Midianites. And he was doing, and what happens? An angel of the Lord comes and says, "Hey, Gideon, you mighty man of valor." And he's like, "Are you talking to me? You talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you." I mean, that's my own words, but you know, he came and called him. Listen, it was God calling Gideon what God saw about him. He called him. Come on, what did he do? He used this principle. He called things that be not as though they were. Come on, and God does that about you. God did that with Job. Satan comes before God with Job and says, "Hey, what about this Job? Hey, have you seen him? Look at, he's got this going on. He's got this going on. He's got this going on." What was God doing? He was calling things that be not manifest yet as though they were. And guess what? Can I say something? There's somebody talking about you right now. How many want to know who it is? Who's talking about you? I'm a prophet. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm looking at some of you with these steely blue eyes. Ooh, you feel a little nervous? Somebody's talking about you. God's talking about you. He's talking about you right now. He's calling things that be not manifest in your life right now as though they were. That's God's principle. That's what he's doing right now. He's calling you healed when your body's racked with pain. He's calling you delivered when you think, "I've got to have it." He's calling your marriage healed when you think, "I'd rather slap her down than pray in tongues." Come on, somebody. I don't know. Anyway, that's when you eat something good. You slap your sister and pray in tongues. I don't know. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? God's saying that about you. And you say, "Well, it doesn't look like." But God is saying that about you. And he wants you to say that about you. God already knows what he's saying about you. And he believes what he's saying about you. But he wants us to get in tandem with him. He wants us to get in agreement with him. And he wants us to say with our creative force, our mouth, what God says about us. I can. Oh, but no, I can do all things through Christ. But I no, shut up. I can do it. You ever have a conversation like that? People think that guy's nuts. But I'm calling things that be not as though they were. Because that's God's will. That's God's word. That's God's principle. Amen. You getting something out of this? Oh, my goodness. How are we doing? Can you give me 5 more minutes? Give me 5 more minutes. Raise your hand. If I can have 5 more, raise your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 45, 45, 45. Okay, thank you. 2 hours. God bless America. No, not really. Just a few minutes. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. You getting something out of this today? James chapter 3. We're looking at the importance of what we say. See, listen, once we say what God's word says, we're putting his power to work in our lives. All he wants you to do is say it. You don't have to follow up and say, "Now I've got to make it happen." Pastor, that's how people get so pressurized in their life. They're like, I got to have faith. That means I got to. Listen, you're not in faith if you're wringing your hands and you're worrying about it. But I said it. Just keep saying it. Let God's power go to work. God never expects you to make it happen. He's going to make it happen. He expects you to believe him that he will do it. And say, sow the seed of the word in your heart and just let it grow. Let it go. Let God do it. Amen? Amen. James chapter 3 refers to this. In verse 2 it says, "We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he's a perfect man and mature. He's able to bridle the whole body." Basically he's saying there that if you can get a hold of your tongue or your words, you're going to get a hold of not just your life but all your circumstances too. Now that's a big one, but it's the truth, and it's in God's word. And I choose to believe this, Pastor Mike, Pastor Brenda, over what anybody else says. Yeah, but you know, I mean, you know, you win some, you lose some. No, not according to the Bible. Now, we might have that kind of testimony, that kind of track record, but it can be better according to what the word says here. I want to take the word and believe that. How about you? Now, he gives us some examples here of the importance of our words. Verse 3 says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Now, how many have horses? Anybody have horses here? This is Texas. Everybody's got a horse, right? In my Audi, I got about 500 horses. Come on, somebody. Anyway, but a horse, what do? It says that bridle and bit. You got it in the horse's mouth, right? And as you pull back or pull a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, whatever, you turn that big, powerful horse by that little bit in its mouth, right? Why? Because what happens is you're putting pressure on the horse's tongue. That bit is putting pressure on the horse's tongue. Get this. God wants us to put pressure on our tongue. And it's going to be pressure on our tongue to say what He says. Because the first time you say, "Well, by His stripes I am healed," you're putting pressure on your tongue because it doesn't feel like that's right to even say it. I know my body is telling me all these symptoms and all these things, and you want me to, yes, I want you to put pressure on your tongue to say what God says about you. That's what He's saying there. Put pressure on your tongue. If that's what it takes, put pressure on, and eventually you're going to turn your circumstances. That's point number, what is it, 6? Write it down. If you want to change your circumstances, you need to put pressure on your tongue. If you want to change your circumstances, you've got to put pressure on your tongue. You getting something out of this? All right, let's look on. Verse 4, look at the ships, and I'm going to finish up with this. Look at the ships. Although they're so large and driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Wow. Now, think about the ship. Here's this big ship. It's going whatever direction it's going. That's like your life, going whatever direction it's going. Do you know the captain doesn't say, "Okay, guys, we got to take a left up here." Well, left up here in water, you know, ocean. But one thing I know, they don't say, "Guys, get out and jump in the ocean, jump in the water, and start doing all you can to get that water to turn that ship." That's funny, isn't it? And that's about as funny as we try to change our circumstances on our own. Our life is going a certain direction, and we're like, "My God, we can't go this way. What are we going to do? I don't know, just jump out of the boat, start pushing stuff, moving stuff, doing stuff, whatever. You know, let's just, you know," and get all wore out and saying, "This stuff don't work," and just failing, giving up, and drowning. It's not how you turn the ship. Captain just says, "Hey, turn the rudder. You know, starboard or what's the other side? Port. You know, just turn it," right? And what do? That little rudder. Now, notice this, when that rudder first turns, how many know that, and I've seen this, I've studied this, that's why I'm a doctor. Listen, it's very important. If you ever see a ship going through the ocean like this, you say, "Okay, let's put your blinkers on, let's go left." All right, boom. That's only in cartoons it goes. That's in cartoons, not commercials, cartoons, right? But you know what happens when you put that rudder to make the boat turn? Guess what? That boat keeps going the same direction for a while, then slowly, but eventually, it goes the direction that you put the rudder in to go. Isn't that powerful? Now, think about it. So what are we saying here? When you first start saying what the Word says, you're doing what that rudder does. That rudder is plowing water. It's plowing water. And what you do with your words when you first start saying, don't say it 3 times. "Well, I said, by His stripes I'm healed." And you know what? The next day I felt worse. Because you get your rudder in, you're plowing water. But eventually, keeping that rudder in to where you want to go, eventually you're going to plow through the water and you're going to turn your circumstances to where you want to be. That's how it works. That's what the Bible says. I choose to believe the Bible. There's many times in my life when things looked hideous, it looked bad, it looked like this ain't going to work. God says, "What's your confession?" "Well, this is what I say about the Word." And he would show me, "That's what you're doing. You're plowing. Start plowing the water now, Carl. It's going to turn, but start plowing the water now. Don't give up. Don't give in. You get the plow in, or, you know, get the rudder in the water and start plowing that water, and you watch the outcome, and eventually it did turn around." And I tell you, at first, the work that we do is the work of entering into the rest of faith. That's the work. We think, "Well, there's, you know, the work, there's the war of it." Yeah, the war is staying in faith, staying in rest. Doesn't he say that in Hebrews? Paul says, labor to what? To enter into this hard work of making it happen? No. Rest to enter into, or labor to enter into the rest of faith. Amen? You getting something out of this? So, and then he goes on to say, verse 5, I'm going to close with this. Even though the tongue is a little member, it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire by hell. What's he saying here? He's talking about the tongue is like a little fire. It's like just that little matchstick that starts it. He even uses the word fire kindles, and I think of kindling. If he's ever used kindling to start a fire. Teddy and I, in Michigan, we love having fires in fireplaces. We have a gas one now, but we used to have the ones where you'd actually start the wood on fire in your fireplace, and you'd start with a little kindling. You know, that's some of that little stuff that can start real quick like that. Boom. Now, that you don't do that with a big log. You don't say, hey, get me a lighter in here. Put it on the end of this log. You say, well, that's foolishness. That's how some people think about, well, you know, if I say five times I'm coming down with the swine pig flu, you know, then I'm not going to get it just because I... You see, they're thinking that you just light a big log. But they forget that as you talk your stuff, you start with a little kindling. And people don't realize sometimes the life circumstances you're in right now is because a little kindling was started maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And you don't realize, and you think, well, how did this happen? Well, kindling started it, and now it's a big blazing fire in your life. Well, I don't understand that. Let me ask you this. When kindling starts the fire, what happens when the fire starts raging? Where's the kindling? You can't find it. You can't find it. That's like a lot of people's lives. Well, I just don't believe that this happened because of something I said. Well, maybe it was something your dad said. I don't know. Maybe it was something your mama said. Maybe it was something you said years ago. Maybe it's something you took on years ago. It doesn't matter. And you can't even find the source of it. But well, let's just dig in and find the source. Let's not do that. We know the source. It's birthed of hell, it says. We know the source. Let's change our source. Let's change our seed. Let's command that stuff to be rooted up at the root, dug up at the root, and not produce in our life, and say what the Word says. This help you today? Amen. Praise God. Write this down. Bottom line is this. The words started whatever's happening in your life. Words can change whatever's happening in your life. Words started whatever's happening in your life. And I'm telling you, not because I know you, but because I know the Word. And that's what the Word says. My life where it is right now is a combination of all the words that I received as seed in my life. Whether good, bad, or ugly, that's where I am. And if my life isn't producing like I want or isn't doing what I want it to do or I'm seeing some missteps, you know what? Got to go back. What am I saying? What am I saying? What am I saying? And start saying the Word. Some people say, well, this blab it and grab it, claim it and blame it, or whatever, you know, you call it, the Word. This stuff, well, see, that's the kind of thing that get people in trouble. Isn't that right, Pastor? Because you're knocking the very resource that will save you, that will heal you, that will deliver you. Never give up on the Word. You might be plowing water for a season, but eventually it'll change for good. You might be putting pressure on your tongue when you start with it. But remember, just like that horse, your powerful life is going to change for good because you can do it. God gave us the tools. Do you believe that today? Amen.